you want some, come get some.
This is such good shit.
I am the visionary. I am a revolutionary. I am Seth.
You can cry. I can't give the self-gymnastics, but I can give it to my mama. I can give it to my mommy.
Acknowledge me.
Lately, he just hasn't been...
Yo.
I know I'm sexy. I got the looks that drive
all right there, sexy Mike. We get the picture. We get the gist. He's single, lady, so hit him up.
I'm single, ladies. All right, enough of that. Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling with Ryan. Of course, I am Mike.
And I am your boy, Ryan.
And today we're talking about all things Survivor Series.
War Games!
What? Nobody can do it like William Regal.
Yeah, no, nobody can say it like Regal. That man was born to say that word.
Exactly. War Games, mate. Anyways, Ryan, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Survivor Series War Games and the matches that are advertised for the show. And we just found out on SmackDown who the fifth man is for the OG Bloodline.
Exactly. Yeah,
Mr. Chicago made Punk.
I should be wearing a CM Punk shirt since I was wearing it last week. But you know, it's okay. We can talk about if it does make sense. If it doesn't make sense, we'll
I think it makes sense. Yeah. I think it makes sense over from the perspective of like the history he has with Paul Heyman. And then remember the original creation of the Shield was CM Punk's idea.
So
you could attribute, you know, Roman being on the main roster, at least at the time he was on the main roster, was because of CM Punk.
Exactly.
And so you have the history there, and then a lot of people think that, you know, CM Punk owes Paul Heyman a favor. This is that favor.
Right. Exactly. But we can get into the rest of the card before we get to the main event match there. All right, Ryan. So how many matches do we have on this card so far? Let's see.
We have the two War Games matches.
Mm-hmm. A possible WWE Championship match.
Maybe possible. They might have, if anything, they'd announce that on this coming SmackDown.
Yeah. All right. So we have one, we have two, possibly three, four. Only four matches? Is that correct, Ryan? Because actually, one of them hasn't really been confirmed so far, because you don't know if you're getting Cody Rhodes.
Oh, that's right. We have Gunther versus Damian Priest. I totally forgot. Yes, we have Gunther versus Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because you have Gunther. You have versus Damian Priest. You have Rhea, Bianca, and Jade, who now is out of the match.
Yeah. And it has been replaced, spoiler/not spoiler, Bayley has replaced Jade Cargill in the Women's War Games match.
Exactly. We can talk about all this. Let's start with the Intercontinental Championship match, Bron Breakker versus Sheamus. How do you think that one's going to go?
Oh, they were having a great match on Raw, and then up until Ludwig Kaiser interfered. So I'm curious if it's still going to be one-on-one or if it's going to be a triple threat and they're going to throw Ludwig in the mix.
I think they're really pushing Ludwig, yeah, as a singles competitor.
Yeah.
A serious singles competitor.
Yeah, and I know all three guys are very talented in the ring. Like Ludwig Kaiser, he's very underrated as an in-ring performer. Like, I think he's really good. Like, I remember the match out of Randy Orton a little while back. That was probably one of his better matches of his main roster run so far. Mm-hmm. So I think if that match is confirmed and made official, because we it might be made official as soon as tomorrow night on Raw. So I think that match would be, you know, great. I think all three men are going to really, you know, do their best and, like, bring out the best in each other. I still think Bron Breakker is going to come out on top, but yeah. I think it'll be a very entertaining match. And it'll be interesting to see if they continue, you know, to build up Sheamus to eventually winning, you know, the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I could see them adding Ludwig into the match. I think they don't take the belt off of Bron Breakker right away. I think they want to continue to build him up as a serious champion. Because they already took the belt off of him a couple months ago with Jey Uso. You're not going to want to put the belt back on him and then take it off again. And so having a triple threat match, that's an easy way for I think Ludwig probably takes the pin, and they probably save Sheamus for at least a rematch, probably at the Royal Rumble or at WrestleMania, because I think Sheamus is getting the title. I think the whole story is going to play out for him.
Because we've noticed there's been a trend of they always say like, oh, this person's never won this title, and eventually they end up doing it, as we saw, like with Cody, like, oh, he's never won the championship his father never won,
Right.
and then Cody won it, and then with Jay, he's never won a singles championship, and he won an IC title. So it's only a matter of time before Sheamus wins the title. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Exactly. All right, now you have Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair. It was Jade Cargill. Now it's going to be Bayley, and Io Sky versus Liv Morgan,
And
Raquel
Naomi.
Rodriguez,
And
Nia Jax,
Naomi.
Tiffany Stratton, and Candice LeRae. But you said Naomi?
Yes, because I think you forgot Naomi as part of the baby faces.
Who's she replacing?
No, she was
Oh,
already in
she's in the
it.
match. Okay.
Yeah, she was already in it. It's
Gotcha.
Bayley was the one replacing Jade. Because
Gotcha.
I don't think you said Naomi.
Let's talk about that. So Jade Cargill was taken out last Friday night on SmackDown. In storyline, you saw her laid out on top of a windshield. She looked like somebody had just pushed her off a two-story building, and she landed on top of the car. So they're probably gonna play like a whodunit type of situation with
And I
who took her
really
out.
hope the way the story goes, I really hope it plays out that Bianca was the one to do it.
But does it make sense though? Because Bianca was in the match, and then also like Bianca's. So what happened was they showed it on the screen, and Bianca was like, "All right, do I stay and continue the match, or do I go?" And for like 5 seconds, she was like, "Stay, do I go? Do I stay, do I go? Do I stay, do I go?" She was contemplating. She's also like she gave up a chance to become the first women's champion. So sorry, the first United States women's champion. So. Doesn't really add up to why she would
But
do
a lot of people are saying it's reminiscent of the Triple H Shawn Michaels storyline from a while back,
that. Yeah.
where Triple H ended up being the one to, take out Shawn Michaels.
I just don't see how it makes sense there. I think it makes more sense for Bayley because if you've paid attention to recent,
Some people are saying it might be Naomi.
it could be Naomi. I think because if you paid attention to the way their interactions have been last few weeks on SmackDown, I feel like Bayley's been kind of ostracized from the women's locker room, the way they talk to her, and especially like Naomi. I think like Naomi has just is always been in a position where she's been the bridesmaid and not the bride. So you take those two characters right there, right? One, Bayley not really feeling like she's welcome in the SmackDown locker room per se, and then two, Naomi. She's never really had the opportunity to be women's champion.
Yeah, so here's my thought on that. Bayley has spent like the last like 4 years or like 5-ish years as a heel. I think it's still too soon to turn her back into a heel already. I think Naomi needs a heel run because she hasn't been doing anything as a babyface. She's getting stale, and we haven't really had a good Naomi singles heel run because the last time she was a heel was when she was part of the team bad or whatever it was.
Yeah,
And
team
so
bad.
we haven't really had a single Naomi heel run. So I think it'd be interesting to have Naomi be the one to turn heel and put her on a heel run.
Yeah, I mean it's all interesting to play out, to see how it's going to play out. I just.
Plus you also have the story of, when they had the number one contenders match, Bayley beat Naomi. Eventually Naomi did get a shot, but there's also the point of like, where Naomi might be getting jealous of Bayley for Bayley getting all the opportunities. So you have that story there too.
I hope two things happen in this match now. One, I hope that Tiffany Stratton cashes in. I think it'd be a very unique way for her to cash in
Ooh, yeah. The war games.
inside a
Yeah.
War Games match. I think that'd be great. I think that would just,
Especially after they teased it with Damian
yeah.
Priest last year.
Yep, exactly. So I think they should definitely pull the trigger on that. It'd be such a unique way. We've never seen a
And it'd
cash.
be a shock, and it would be
Yeah.
a shock.
Exactly. So we've never seen a cash-in like that. All the cash-ins have been so mundane and like repetitious now. Like it's just you gotta think outside the box. And so if you do a cash-in inside War Games, that's gonna generate a lot of buzz. The other thing I'm looking forward to in this match is Io Sky going on top of the cage with the trash can on. The trash can on top
Her
and diving
typical,
down.
yeah. Hey, they say Io Sky is the woman, the queen of war games, because she's been in every woman's war games match. Everyone.
I
And
just was
I think, and now with Bayley being replaced, Bayley's been in everyone on the main roster now.
Yep. Was it last year that she did the trash can spot?
It's the last two.
Yeah. I think we're gonna get that again this year.
Yeah.
All
Or
right.
who knows, maybe we see her do a over the moonsault from the top.
Exactly. All right.
So.
Now you have your World Heavyweight Championship match, Gunther defending against the former world champion, Damian Priest. How do you think that
Yeah,
one's going to
so
play out?
I mean, I think it's going to be a classic match because their match at SummerSlam was also really, really good. And I think we don't see any outside interference.
Yeah.
Well, potentially, but I don't think we're going to see any outside interference. So I think we're going to actually get to see the two actually have like a legitimate wrestling match, like to the end, like with a clean finish.
I think
And
Ludwig probably pops his head in there because he's been doing that as of late for Gunther, but I think Gunther probably yells at Ludwig to probably get to the back. And then you probably see like a near fall where Damian Priest probably capitalizes on that, but then I think in the end Gunther will
Gunther retains.
win he'll win cleanly again.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if I'm not saying that oh we're going to see somebody return, to tease, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some sort of tease for Gunther's next opponent
Yeah,
after
exactly.
the match.
Yeah, because you have Saturday night's main event coming up. You have the Royal Rumble, so I think you're gonna want to build a lot of intrigue.
And you're definitely going to want both world titles being defended at Saturday night's main event.
Exactly. Who those
Well,
guys are?
we'll get more into Saturday main event in another show, but
Exactly. Yeah, but
I definitely think Survivor Series will slowly start to also build for Saturday night's main event.
exactly. Yeah, I think obviously they're not gonna put the belt back on Damian Priest, and it's gonna be interesting to see what they do with him coming out of this. It's you don't want to put him in a position where he just falls back down to the mid card. You want to keep him strong. So how do they play this out? Do they try to get another match out of this? Do they try to, work it in a way where Damian Priest is owed a rematch per se? Or do you just kind of do it one and done? Who knows?
Yeah, well, again, it also is a question like maybe Ludwig does interfere and helps Gunther, and then Gunther will be like, you know what? No, I don't like that Ludwig interfered, so I'm going to give you a rematch. It's on his main event. It's going to be one-on-one. Like, nobody's allowed. Like, everybody's banned from ringside. We could see that. Who knows?
Yeah, you could definitely. And then you have. I guess the main event here. You have the OG Bloodline,
With
Roman
CM
Reigns,
Punk.
the Usos, and Sami Zayn with CM Punk versus the current Bloodline, Solo Sikoa,
With Bronson Reed.
Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa.
Yeah,
That's
yeah, 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 yeah. I
I
love you, Solo. I love you.
love you, Ryan.
Hey, yo, take me out to dinner first.
I will definitely, but let's talk about this main event for War Games. I, in my humbled opinion, I
I
think
think it should have stuck to being a 4v4.
it should have been a 4v4. I don't think, I mean, they've done 4v4 in WCW before with War Games.
And did they do it in NXT?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And so there's no reason to get to do this 5-on-5. You're just shoehorning in at this point, Bronson.
Well, I think it could also be a way that this could help to reignite the Punk and Seth feud.
Yeah.
Because who knows, maybe Seth gets involved now and he's like, oh, well. You guys asked me, but you guys never asked Punk, but you let Punk come in and just help you out.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they're going to play into that.
Hear me out on this. Although it doesn't quite make sense with the current storyline because Seth Rollins and Big Bronson Reed hate each other, and those guys have gone to war against each other. Does this play a part into a heel run for Seth Rollins? Because you're looking at who they brought in.
Maybe, maybe it's one of those things where maybe, and this is me just like putting a wild guess, maybe Seth attacks Punk before the match and Punk can't compete.
Hey, that's definitely a possibility. I didn't think about that. That's definitely a possibility. And then that sets up the feud between Punk and Seth.
And then maybe somehow Seth also takes out Bronson or whatever, and then it we ultimately do get the 4v4. I'm not saying it's gonna happen. It's just wishful thinking, but I mean, it is possible that Punk could be taken out by Seth.
I look at what you're saying right now, I didn't think about, but also I think that's definitely a quite the possibility, you know. It does, you know, Seth is that would set up Seth with his current opponent, Big Bronson Reed, and then that would set up Seth with who he's going to be going forward with, possibly after the Royal Rumble into WrestleMania with CM Punk.
And that's how you give Seth his heel heat. You take out the fan favorite, you take out Punk.
Exactly, because in a promo in a feud between CM Punk and Seth Rollins, who's going to be the heel?
I definitely think Seth would be the heel.
Seth would be the heel, and I think.
I mean you could do babyface versus babyface, but
You
I don't
could,
think that's
but
the route. I don't think that's the route they should go.
yeah, exactly. You could. I mean, Seth Rollins would in that feud, I think he would thrive as a heel.
Oh yeah, I definitely think Seth would probably have some of his best work, like promo wise, being the heel in that feud.
Because you need to match CM Punk as
And
the
yeah, and it's one of those things that Seth was the heel, he wouldn't have to hold back in his promos.
Exactly.
He would be able to, like go off on a, on a tangent. Like he wouldn't have to hold back because he's a good guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they could use him as somewhat of a tweener, you know, because Seth Rollins, I feel like, is not going to be, at this point, he's not going to be like a heavily booed
Because
heel.
he's too over with the crowd, is he? And that's the problem. Well, it's a problem, but it's a good problem to have when you have, a feud between two people and they're both over with the crowd. If that's a good problem to have.
Exactly. And also, too, like, you know, Seth has been saying he will never tag with Roman Reigns. Who's a babyface right now? Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is a babyface right now.
I would define him as more of like he's a tweener right now who
Yeah,
leans
but
more towards the baby face side.
the
But
audience is going crazy.
I wouldn't say he's a full-fledged baby face at the moment. At the moment.
Yeah, but the audience is
But
going
it's
crazy over
leaning
him.
that way. Yeah, but it's leaning that way.
It is. It's just, you know, it opens up a lot of doors for Seth Rollins. And I think, like, you know, going into WrestleMania season, you need strong heels. There's a lot of baby
Yeah.
faces. There's gonna
Yeah.
in 2025, you have John Cena coming back. You know, he's gonna spend a lot of time on Raw. You have, you know, possibly Goldberg coming back around this time. You know, CM Punk is gonna be around. You need strong heels to match up against these guys on these shows. And I think transitioning Seth Rollins into a
Yeah.
heel.
And you want to know another thing that also factors into this story is Seth standing on business. He's holding his ground. He says, I'm not going to team up with Roman again. And with Punk taking his spot, it's like, he still stood by that. So I like that WWE didn't initially make it. I like how they didn't go the obvious route of making Seth the fifth man just because Bronson's the fifth man on the other side.
Exactly.
So I
Who
do
do you
give kudos to WWE for not going the obvious route.
Yeah. Who do you think wins this match?
Okay, I know how they've been doing it, like all the babyface have been going over, but I think the heel should go over. I think the new Bloodline and Bronson should be the ones to win the match
They should. I, you know,
because I think it'll help legitimize Solo as being the tribal chief, and
yeah.
especially if it teases tension between like, the Usos, then it'll also show like, oh, they still don't fully trust Roman all the way,
Yeah, exactly.
because they're still showing signs of tension. Because look at this. Roman still hasn't apologized to any of them.
Right, exactly.
They're just putting their differences aside for this, to fight, against Solo and the new Bloodline. But think about it. Roman still hasn't apologized to anybody yet.
Exactly. I think the heels should go over, but my brain is telling me that the baby faces win because I don't know. That's just the way WWE does things. Big pay-per-views, big moments. They don't really like letting the crowd down. So you have the baby faces win. And I think, yeah, I think you have a situation going forward where the baby faces win. And I hope to God that, that this is, doesn't mean that Solo Sikoa and the new bloodline is buried. And but I think with the loss, I think there's a lot of good things that you could do going forward with them. Obviously, that you're going to continue the story with Solo Sikoa. I think you're going to have the new bloodline turn on him at some point. Jacob Fatu is going
I specifically want to see Jacob Fatu turn.
to. Yeah, dude. I like looking at Bronson Reed with the new bloodline. I think he fits in really well.
Everybody's saying that this might be teasing Bronson leading a new faction.
Yeah, if you had, dude, Jacob Fatu and Bronson Reed, who's gonna want to F with those guys?
Sheesh, dude, that's a scary combo right
That is
there.
a scary combo.
With
You don't
both of them are super athletic for their size.
Oh yeah,
That's
exactly. Go.
scary. That is scary.
Just call him, and I think Bronson Reed is like half Samoan anyways. So you have
I mean,
you definitely have.
he's got the tattoos to show it.
Exactly. I think he is like half Samoan. I could be wrong
I'm
on
pretty,
that.
yeah. That's why everybody say like, oh, look, they're gonna say he's part of the bloodline. It's like, no, he's not actually part of their bloodline, but I think he is part Samoan.
I think they kick Solo Sikoa out, and then they
And
probably.
Solo tries to, get back on Roman's good graces.
Exactly. Yeah.
And another thing I want to mention, because we also saw the return of the Wise Man.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this as much. Did you notice the clothes he was wearing?
Yeah, it
Very much
very much like.
resembled what Solo was wearing.
Yeah, it does. It did.
I'm not saying it's going to lead to anything, but it's curious to think about. And a lot of people are saying like, nah, Paul Heyman isn't going to be a face. He's never been a baby face. A lot of people are saying that Paul Heyman is actually working for The Rock, and that The Rock pretty much is like still behind all of this.
That would be something. That would be something right there.
And
And speaking of.
a lot of people are saying too, Solo destroyed one of Paul's phones, not The Rock, but not the one he had for The Rock. The
Yeah.
one that was destroyed was the one that was used for Roman.
Yeah. We'll see how it shakes out. Does The Rock make an appearance?
Yeah, that and again, another thing that they also have not mentioned The Rock at all since he
Yeah, that's been kind
returned
of
at
weird.
Bad
How
Blood.
comes
It's
back
just
even?
like they have yet to address it. Like they've shown it, they've talked about it, but they actually have yet to address it in terms of the story.
Right, exactly. Very weird. So does he come out and play a part into the Survivor Series main event? Who knows? But I think the babyfaces do win in the end. Quickly, I don't think this is a match at Survivor Series, but Kevin Owens versus Cody Rhodes.
I could very well see it being made official at on this coming SmackDown.
Yeah, that I think to me, I think what I see happening is they don't do a WWE championship match per se. I think you probably do something where it's like unsanctioned or whatever the case is, and then it leads to, I think honestly, this should just probably lead to a match at Saturday night's main event because you do need big matches on that pay-per-view. But we'll see what happens with how they structure it. But great promo between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes in the ring.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That was when watching that segment, I was just like, no, that was a solid segment, very solid segment between both men.
It felt like two people actually arguing.
Yeah, it felt real. It felt like it was Kevin Steen talking to a Cody, what, Reynolds?
Yeah, definitely. Lots of times in WWE, you have like the very formulaic, the way they do promos. Like one guy will be saying a lot of different things, and then the other guy just stays quiet. That wasn't the case.
No, this genuinely felt like it was two real people like genuinely like pissed off at each other.
Exactly.
And that's something we haven't seen in WWE for a long time. So I give, kudos to Triple H, but also Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes for being able to deliver a segment like that.
Exactly. Yep, well done.
It really helped give like a new point in the feud.
Exactly.
Because
Well done.
everybody's saying too that Kevin Owens is the most justified heel.
Yeah, pretty much. Because everything he's saying makes sense.
This is one of those rare heel turns that actually makes like sense.
Yeah. No longer are the days of like, I remember back in like 2010, 2011, it would be like the such same shit where it was like, you people turned on me. And like, it'd just be like, dude, this is so like
And
fucking.
in this case, it's different because Kevin is like, no, the people didn't turn on me. You, Cody, you and Randy turned on me. You guys asked for this. You guys begged for this.
It makes sense. It's logical.
And then the one thing I like is that they didn't really is that I mean he dissed the crowd like once, but I like how it wasn't exactly focused on dissing the crowd. I forget the crowd said something and KO was like, oh, well, it's not happened. Well, it's not gonna happen now. So thank you for that. But I like that for once we didn't get like a heel promo actually like dissing the crowd because I feel like that takes away from these promos sometimes.
Exactly. It does. It does. But yeah, that's Survivor Series in a nutshell. Let's see what happens. Any favorite Survivor Series moments of yours throughout your entire WWE fandom? Do, 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 do,
Wasn't the I do have to say I do like that Triple H Shawn Michaels match. What was it, Survivor Series? What was it? Wasn't it like Survivor Series like 2002?
Are you talking about the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a I think a six-man Elimination Chamber
And
between.
it was at the Survivor Series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that one, you know, because that Shawn Michaels won that one. He won the title. I thought that was, you know, like a really feel good big moment for Shawn. But also that match was just like amazing from like top to bottom.
Top to bottom, yeah, it was a great
And
match.
then another match I have to say it's happened recently when it was still the 5v5. It was like the first SmackDown versus Raw, like the SmackDown Live versus Raw, the one that had like Shane McMahon and like Bray, this when Randy was part of the Wyatt family. That I to this day I still think that's the best 5v5
That's the best five.
elimination match.
Wow, that's a big praise right there, considering the history of that. Yeah, I think for me, Survivor Series goes back into my early fandom of early WWF. I remember, I think my dad and my brother, they ordered Survivor Series 1994 when it was Undertaker versus Yoko in the casket match. I remember Survivor Series. We ordered Survivor Series 97, the Montreal Screwjob at my house. All my cousins were gathered around the TV. I remember that, and they're talking about Bret going to WCW. The invasion match in 2001, that kind of sucked, but that was still cool for what it was.
Yeah. And just and yeah. Well, if you finish your thought and then I'll add.
Let's see, Survivor Series, they all kind of blended together in the mid 2000s, I would say. I remember we ordered 2008 was when Cena came back versus Jericho. That was okay. 2009, that was the triple threat, Cena,
Triple
Shawn,
H, Shawn
Triple H.
Michaels.
And then honestly, Cena Rock versus Truth and Miz, 2011
Yeah,
at Madison Square
yeah.
Garden. That was one of the last pay-per-view at Madison Square Garden. Really hard to believe, but that was The Rock's first match in 7 years. I remember being really excited about that. And then they all kind of
And
like.
another match I do have to mention is only because it has my goat, and I feel like I can't have a favorite moment without my goat. I know I'm biased, I know, but Team Cena versus Team Authority at Survivor Series 2014, where we
Oh,
saw the
Sting came
debut
back,
of
yes.
Sting. Yeah,
Yeah.
where we saw the debut of Sting.
I remember watching that one. I think this also ties into a little bit of what we're going to see this year, but the debut of The Shield, Survivor Series 2012, where they powerbomb right back into the announcer's desk. Yeah, all those in the Survivor Series kind of felt like a mid pay-per-view in the 2010s.
And I know we got the hype main event of Brock versus Goldberg, which was a squash, but in a way it was like one of like the more entertaining squash matches in like the history of the
That
company,
was
just because the crowd really like ate it up and it was genuinely shocked. It was a genuine shock. Like, people did not expect Goldberg to beat Brock that fast.
Now, that was genuinely shocking. I remember watching that and I was like,
Like,
this
I watched
is
it, I was just like, what the fuck? But it was in a way I was just like, oh my God, that was like awesome. In a
yeah.
weird way, it was like, I know that was a squash, but it was like, but that was awesome.
That was
It's like that's how you do a squash match.
Genuinely shocking. That was really just to get the train behind Goldberg again. When they did the Raw versus SmackDown brand warfare type of stuff, that was pretty lame, but I remember Brock having some pretty good matches against Daniel Bryan. He had a great match against AJ
AJ
Styles.
Styles, yeah.
That was really it. And
Thank
then
God, thank God AJ saved us from Jinder versus Brock. Oh,
oh
thank
my
God.
God, that would have been
Thank
horrible.
God. Yeah,
Yeah.
that match would have sucked. So
Exactly.
thank God. Thank God. One of the few booking decisions Vince was actually good at,
Yep.
putting a title on AJ.
Exactly. And then you bring us into the War Games era. You
Which
know,
I
last
think which
year.
I think was the smart call.
Last year was
Well,
the
now, well, 2022 was the first War Games on the main roster, right?
Exactly. Yeah, 2020.
But yeah, I think that was a smart call to, make Survivor Series War Games.
Yeah, because War
It
Games
brings
better.
new life, to the show overall.
Exactly.
And it really helps to showcase, like, the talent we don't really that we may not really get to see in like big spots like that, big matches like that.
Exactly.
Like, look, like we're gonna see Candice LeRae, who I think is very talented in the ring, so it'll be interesting to see, how she does in a big spot like that.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And then last year's Survivor Series was amazing. You know, we watched that together. Randy Orton came
I
back.
yep, yep. I remember we were at the point where he's like, "Oh, show's over," and then all of a sudden,
Yeah.
we're like, "Oh shit." We're like, oh my God, we all lost it.
I think I hugged you at that point.
Yeah, we all
Yeah,
lost it.
I was jumping up and down,
I
seeing
think
blood.
I even said something. I was like, wait. I was like, wait, show's not over, show's not over. And we were like, oh, there's the thing. And then the static hit. And now it's come full circle because a year later, Punk's actually going to be competing in the War Games match at the very event he returned to a year ago. It's
Exactly.
crazy. Wow, crazy. It's been almost a full year since CM Punk came back. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Crazy indeed, but all right. Well, this was fun. Talking about Survivor Series, talking about War Games, talking about our
War Games!
War Games. Quickly before we go, guys, laceemupsports.com is up and running. Guys, I
Yes,
put a lot of
sir.
effort into this recently. Please check out all that we have on the website. There's all of our content, a little bit of bios of myself and Ryan. How he likes long walks on the beach. You can access our prior content when it was just the Lace 'Em Up podcast from way back in 2017, 2018. There's going to be a lot more to come on the
Yeah.
website as well to just
Yeah. Yeah.
keep
You've
up.
seen yeah, you've seen the evolution you'll see the evolution of the Lace 'Em Up podcast when it was, kind of in its early stages to now, where we're really trying to grow and, expand the brand. So
Exactly. Exactly. We'll just keep up, on the
sorry, sorry.
website, and yeah, there's gonna be a lot
Sorry,
more good news coming.
I just saw my Panthers are tied with the Chiefs right now, so I'm kinda happy.
Oh,
Sorry.
nice. It's okay.
Going off topic, but
On there, it describes how Ryan somehow loves the Carolina Panthers. I don't know
it's
why.
not somehow. You know why. I told you why.
Cam
Because when I started watching football,
Newton.
for all you, yes, I'm a big Cam Newton guy, so I'm still a Panthers fan to this day. So that is why I'm a Panthers
He's a
fan.
California kid, although his
Yes.
parents accept it for the
N
Cal
yes.
for the Carolina Panthers. Panthers, it's like
Yes.
I try to convert him to be a Rams fan, but
Hey, I like the Rams. I told you I like the Rams. I've been to two Rams games.
you have
Both
against the
against the
Panthers.
Panthers. I've
Yes,
seen a
exactly.
one. I've seen my Panthers win once, and then I've seen them lose.
When did they beat us?
It's when the Rams are still playing at the Coliseum.
Oh, okay.
It was the year after I think we went to the Super Bowl. I went to it. It was 13-10. The
Gotcha.
lone touchdown that game was a Cam Newton touchdown pass to Greg Olsen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That's cool.
see, that's how good my knowledge is.
Damn. How times have changed.
That was the lone touchdown that game, a
Damn.
Greg Olsen touchdown catch.
Well, I just went to a game versus the Dolphins. We didn't have any touchdowns, so.
You picked such a, you were probably like, oh yeah, we're gonna win, and you're probably like, well,
Yeah.
that was something.
Exactly. Well,
And then
anyways,
as
man.
yeah.
All right, it's been fun. Let's talk next week about more wrestling. More wrestling with Ryan.
Yeah, we're gonna, I mean, I guess we can stay now. The next episode, we're gonna recap War Games since, you know, it's this Saturday.
Exactly.
And we show them on Sunday, so.
Let's do it.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. And also, War Games, it has a special early start time. I think they said it's 6 p.m. Eastern.
Make sure to catch it. Until next time, I'm Mike.
I'm Ryan. Yeah, and you can't see me.
And they won't be able to see you now.